see what the Bible has to say to us today. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you again for your words, and thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to die on a cross for us, Lord. What a great thing that you did for mankind and the world. I'm sure that those that have trusted in you are grateful for it, and we really want you to come back, Lord, and we can't wait till you do. And until then, we pray that we just stay faithful and in your words and what you have us to do. And we pray these things now, Lord, that you would just open our eyes and our hearts to your words today. And for we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay. Whew. All right, we're still dealing with this guy Herod here and his wife, and now going to be his daughter. Okay. We'll start off in verse 1. At that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Now, there are a few times in the Bible where you find somebody celebrating their birthday, and Herod is one of them, and Pharaoh is another one. And in the Bible, when people are celebrating their birthdays, it's usually in a carnal and it's in a carnal sense. Celebrating somebody's birthday really has nothing to do with the scriptures. You think about it for a minute. We have the benefit, right, of having what God wants us to know in the form of the Bible. Think about that. Now, in these Old Testament people and Herod and you know, Lot and Noah and Abraham, they didn't have what we have. They didn't have the complete scriptures. We do. Now, when you start going through the Bible, you'll notice nowhere in the Bible do you see a Christian celebrating his birthday. Okay? And nowhere in the Bible do you see the saints of God in the Old Testament celebrating their birthday. But you see Pharaoh celebrating his birthday, and you see Herod celebrating his birthday. And so, scripturally, there's really nothing scripturally for a Christian to celebrate his birthday. In fact, this is what the Bible says regarding the day that you're born. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 7:7. Let's see what the Bible says there. Is that what it says? It's got to be. Yeah, is that 5:5? Must have typed the wrong number in. 7:8. It's right there. Yeah. Surely oppression, that's why I started in 7, that's where I want to start. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. That's not it, is it? Oh, the end is better than the beginning, yeah. Okay. Now, the one I'm looking for is the day of one's birth is better than a 7:1. Yeah, okay. That's it, that is a 1. Yeah, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. That's what the Bible says. All right? And so, this can only be true, folks. This can only be true if you die in Christ and you die in faith. That's the only time that that could be true. If you die without Christ, you're going to be in torment, right? So the first thing you'll probably think about when you're in torment is water. If you die without Christ, if you die without out of faith, first thing you're going to think about is water. And the way you know that is if you look at the rich man and Lazarus, the first thing he thought about was getting a drop of water. And so the day of one's death in that case can't be the day of better than the day of one's birth. People that are alive on this earth right now, they have the greatest opportunity ever to trust in Jesus Christ. And when a person trusts in Christ, not only does he get a new birth, but he also gets a death. The day of one's birth. It's better. You not only get born again the day you trust in Christ, but you also die. You also die. Romans 6. And we all know these verses. I mean, it's nothing new, but we're applying these verses here. Romans 6. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we live? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Part of you died when you got the new birth. And so that day is better than the day that you were born. Okay? And so that's how we'll apply that on this verse. Matthew 14. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Here is a woman, and her name is Herodias, and folks, she's probably not an ugly duckling, okay? This woman is probably a very attractive woman, okay? You've got Herod going after this woman who is his brother's wife. She's probably very, very attractive. And the odds are that her daughter is even better looking than her mother. Okay? She's not no ugly duckling either. This woman, Herodias, is no dummy. She's a very, very smart woman. And she pays attention. Like most women do. They pay attention. They pay attention to details. Especially when it has to concern the man that they're with or the husband that they are with. They're very, very keen. They know what's going on. And so here's a woman that's probably been paying attention to Herod as they've been eating dinner. As a daughter walks in for dinner. As she walks out of the room, anywhere she's around, she's probably watching his eyes and where they're looking at this woman. And no doubt that this woman, Herodias, saw this man looking at her daughter. And it probably happened more than once, folks. And when she couldn't get her way, when Herodias couldn't get her way at talking to her husband to trying to get him to doing something, and nagging on him to trying to get him to do something, she devised a plan. She devised a plan to use her daughter to get the preacher out of the way. To get that preacher out of the way. Why? Because we read in Mark, this preacher had an effect on Herod. Herod really liked to hear the man. And he was a rough guy, right? We know that by the Bible. And he probably spoke pretty rough. Maybe had some ignorance to his speaking. But Herod really liked to hear the guy. And the power of God was on this man. And when God's speaking through a man, other people that you know, the normal person that would say, hey, man, this guy is crude. That power of God, through God's word, speaks to man's heart. And when he's hearing them gladly and he's starting to change some things, hey, he's not hearing the man, he's hearing the Holy Spirit speaking through this man. And Herod's starting to change some of his ways. And she sees this happening right before her eyes. And she sees that this preacher, he's got an effect on her husband. And she saw that the longer this John the Baptist character was around, and the longer he stayed alive, and the longer people heard him speaking, the more of a chance that there was that Herod might just one day say, John, that was right, what you said about me and this woman. And now I have to act and put her away and get this thing right. And this woman's no dummy. She sees that he's changing some of his ways. And she's worried about the security of her life from then on. People do things, drastic things, folks, when they are insecure and when they feel threatened in any way. You see it on the job all the time. They'll cut your throat in a heartbeat. Your best friend will cut your throat in a heartbeat to get two more dollars than you. All right. Now, I don't like to work Sundays anyway. And I don't. Okay. But I noticed they put this schedule together. And the person that put this schedule together happens to know that I get double time on Sundays. And he doesn't. And he put me down for every Sunday as being off. I mean, nobody else, just my name. You see a big, bold, black letters, Bartleman, 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 Bartleman. I'm like, this is awesome. I didn't even have to beg for that. But he knew that I made double time, and he did that. It's just, you see this happening. People, when they see their job threatened, or when they see that you're going to get one more thing than them, they got it in for you. They got it in for you. And she, this woman, Herodias, saw there's a possibility that her husband is going to get right. And she didn't want that happening because now she wouldn't have the benefits that they had being in their position any longer. She's married to Herod. He's got a fourth of the Roman Empire under him. With all the wealth and everything else and houses and food and whatever you can throw in there. And that's being threatened. And so she devised a plan to take out the preacher. And folks, there's been many preachers, many, that have been taken out by a woman. Happens probably every day in this country. Now look at what happened up here. Now, mind you, that up in Hammond what happened, that was just, I feel bad for that preacher because he was doing a lot. I feel bad for him. He just got caught up and he didn't, he He should have had people there when he was counseling. I feel bad for the guy. But a woman got him out of this position. And I'm not saying all women are bad, folks, but men have to be very, very careful when they're in a position of authority. Okay? I'll give you an example. Maybe not yet, just yet. But anyway, I'll give you the example here in a couple minutes. So here's this woman, she goes after this preacher, and when a woman has it out for a man, she'll do anything, and she'll say anything. Lie, cheat, steal, and she'll do anything to shut the person up. If they, especially if they think that they have influence over the one that they are in charge of, and they got their hands over, and they see another preacher come in or another man come in and grab hold of some part of that life, let me tell you, women don't like to give up that power. She don't. She wants to be in control. I'm not saying all women are like that, but 99.9% of them maybe. Okay, well, I'll give you the example now. When you're in a position of power, I'll give you my example. Well, I'm in a position of a lot of power up at BP. They gave me a lot of power to do a lot of things. I could actually say, you've got this job, and give a guy a $400,000, $500,000. When it gets into millions, I have to get another signature. $400,000 to $500,000 job at the snap of a finger at my mouth. And the contracts people, they would always get mad at me because I would give a guy a job based on an estimate that he had given me, and they didn't get the estimate, and then they'd be mad at me and say, hey, you can't do this, and they'd send emails out to everybody. They didn't know that they gave us the power to give a verbal contract, which was good up to a year, and BP had to pay for that, whatever we gave away. Now, there was this one instance where this contractor did some work, and they worked a whole bunch of overtime, and they didn't have an approval from me. And I wasn't going to pay for that. I wasn't going to sign my name for it. And I normally I would, you know, we would work things out. But this particular outfit did this. They did it purposely and willfully, and I didn't like that. So I wasn't going to pay for this. And they sent the woman from the office in. And I'm not, I mean, they don't send ugly people in to talk to you. And I just said, I'm sorry, lady. But you have to go through the policies and the procedures in order for you to get paid. You just don't come out here with your company and do whatever you want to do and never ask anybody and expect BP to pay for that. That doesn't happen. And we're not going to do that. We're not going to honor that. And so they didn't get paid for those things. I just rejected everything. So they ain't paid by me. Maybe somebody else paid for it. I just rejected everything. But those are the types of things people do when they want to get something. They'll send somebody in to talk really nice to you. Okay? And so let's go on. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Now this had to be some dance that Herodias' daughter performed. Here is Herod. He's a man who's probably seen just about everything, and everything but his new wife's daughter, and he'd probably been thinking for quite some time about this girl that, you know, he's been eyeing up. Now notice that when Herodias' daughter comes in to Herod's presence, that Herod never did anything to stop this girl from doing what she did in front of him. Never said a word, never tried to discourage her at all. No, what he should have done was to pull that girl aside and tell her to go home to her mom, as it wasn't the place for her to be at that time. That's what he should have did, but he didn't do that. No, Herod, being the pervert that he was, And you could say that, He was a pervert. He let this young girl flaunt herself, not only in front of himself, but in front of all them, whoever was there. This is his, she's married to this woman. That's his, technically, I don't know if it's technically his daughter, his niece. But come on. Do you really love the woman that you married? That you would let this her daughter do this stuff? And so he lets her do this stuff. And all those that were there celebrating his birthday. Why? Why did he do this? Go with me if you would to James. James 1. The Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. He lusted after this young girl. But first, he lusted after the young girl's mom. And that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. He had the fourth part of the Roman Empire. He had all the wealth you could think of. He had everything at his fingertips. And that wasn't enough. He had to have his brother Philip's wife. And after he got her, that wasn't enough, folks. Do you see? It's never enough. It just never is. He had to have her daughter, or at least look at her. But in a way that really made him happy, because he offered her whatever she wanted. Herod heard John the Baptist gladly, we saw in Mark. And Herod changed things in his life. But when it came to this sin, Herod couldn't give it up. And the end of that sin was death. Right? And that was the death of John the Baptist. Sin not only causes death to come upon you, but it causes death to come upon the people that are around you. And we need to keep that in mind. We need to keep that in mind. Hey, the sin that we commit in the body of Christ, if you're a part of his bone and part of his flesh. Hey, if I smash my finger with a hammer, right? My finger's going to hurt, but my whole body's going to suffer. The whole body's going to suffer. And so we need to keep that in mind as we commit our sins throughout the day. Who in the body of Christ are we hurting? Something to think about. That's the stuff you got to chew on in life. That's the meaty things. Who are we hurting that are around us? And we need to chew on that one for a long time, because, hey, we're affecting each other with our sin. And I'm not saying your sin. I'm saying our sin. I'm throwing me right in there. I know I'm a sinner. I'm grateful that the Lord saved me and I get to go to heaven. Because I know I'm not worthy of any of the things that Christ has for me. And so, but we need to think about these things. Who are we affecting around us? And that wasn't even in my notes. I don't even know why I said that. But anyway, verse 7. Go back to Mark or Matthew. Verse 7. Let me read 6 again. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And I'm going to run through this, but men will say some pretty stupid things when they get to be in a position of power. They'll say some pretty stupid things. Everybody wants to suck up to you, and they'll do whatever they have to do to get you to do their bidding. And then I already gave you the example about where I work. But unless it's sinful, you need to, I mean, if it's sinful, you need to speak up. A lot of times, you're better off just to keep your mouth shut. But if it's sinful, if they're trying to get you to do something sinful, you need to squash it. You need to just say, hey, are you trying to get me to commit a sin here? And that'll usually shut a person up. But usually, it's better off that you just keep your mouth shut and don't say anything. Just let them blah, 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 blah. Go with me, if you would, to Ecclesiastes 5. That's what I'm looking for. Ecclesiastes 5. You're better off not saying anything, not promising anybody anything, and let them just do what they're going to do and say what they're going to say and promise you what they're going to promise you and take you out to lunch. Hey, I had a guy one time, he wanted a contract for replacing all the straps on the tents that we put up. Mind you, he was charging $200 to $300 per strap that I could go down to Black Industrial and buy for $10. Yeah. And he took me out to lunch. He wanted, I mean, and BP allowed it. He took me out to lunch at a nice restaurant, started talking to me, and blah, 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 blah. I got into it and said, hey, these straps, I mean, you really need to buy them from this outfit because we've tested them and they're bomb-proof and everything. I said, okay, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I've taken your straps that have no markings on whatsoever that are supposed to have ratings on that you don't provide. I've taken those straps and I've analyzed them, and I know the exact context of the webbing of these straps, and I know exactly how much they're rated for. And I can buy them for $10 at this place. Why would I give you $250 or whatever it was? And he got up. That was the end of that lunch. We went on our merry way, and he didn't get the contract. But I'm just saying, they'll do whatever they have to do to try and get this from you and get you to do something. Ecclesiastes 5. And I didn't say, yeah, you got it. Verse 5. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. And this Herod, he couldn't help himself. He couldn't help himself. He couldn't keep his mouth shut. He probably figured the time that he had been waiting and lusting over this woman in his mind, and he finally got what he was lusting after, and he probably figured that he owed this woman something. So he just blurted it out. Hey, I'll give you whatever you want. Not thinking that she would be smart enough to ask for anything, right? But what does a little member do to you? What can a little member in your mouth do? What could it do? Proverbs 18. This guy put forth a death sentence out of his mouth. He didn't even realize he was doing it. Proverbs 18:21. The Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What does Herod do? Two verses later, he eats his words. He eats his words. That's what sin does. It causes death. The end of it is the death. And it came from the power of his tongue. Came from the power of his tongue. Verse 8. Matthew 14:8. And she being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. There's premeditated murder. In Mark 6:22, this girl could have had an eighth of the rulership of the Roman Empire. And yet, she obeyed her mother's instruction and asked for this head of John the Baptist. Hey, this woman, this girl, was no dummy either. And I don't know if you've ever crossed your mom in here, but you don't want to cross your mom because she can make your life miserable. What does a mother eagle do when a study of an eagle, you'll find out what a mother eagle does to her kids or her birds, baby birds, when she wants them out of the nest. All right? Make mommy angry, and you may be out of the nest a little bit sooner than you wanted to be. But she lines the nest with thorns and sharp sticks. Then she takes all the rabbits that she kills and puts that rabbit fur all the way around and makes it real nice and cuddly. And when mama doesn't want little bird in there no more, she pulls out the rabbit fur, and that bird says, I've had it. I'm done with the pricks here. I got to get out of this place. All right? Hey, she did what her mom wanted her to do. I take it was wrong, but she didn't lose her head over it, and then she didn't lose her life over it. She just did what her mom wanted to do. Okay? So we'll go on from there. Verse 9. And the king, he's eating his words right here, and the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them that which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. Why is this king sorry here? There could be a number of reasons why he's sorry. Maybe it was because he killed John the Baptist, maybe it was because he killed John the Baptist, who he kind of liked. Or maybe it was because he realized that this act that Herodias did wasn't a present to him, right? This wasn't a present. Hey, this girl didn't come in here and just do this because she likes me. Probably hurt his pride a little bit. I don't know why it was. But he figured out, maybe it was because he figured out that it was a plot to kill the guy that he kind of, he was taking on to a little bit. And it wasn't really for him. It wasn't really a birthday present. It was a plot. How would you feel if it was your birthday and the only reason why somebody came to your birthday was to get something? Think about it. And now you know how Jesus Christ feels every Christmas. Or maybe it was because he wished if he would have kept his big mouth shut, and he was sorry he opened it because now he has to come good on his words. He's a ruler. If you don't come good on your words as a ruler, people lose confidence in you. When people lose confidence in you, you get overthrown. Verse 10. And he sent and he beheaded John the Baptist in prison. Remember what Jesus said back in Matthew 11:12. Back in 11:12, and I'm almost done here, folks. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent taketh by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He was talking about John being Elias or Elisha, if the Jew would have received Jesus. Look at what happens to the two witnesses in Revelation, in the tribulation, Revelation 11, 3 to 10. And so this verse shows you that Herod, he's a type of the Antichrist. Okay? He's a type of the Antichrist. And as the Antichrist will have this type of capital punishment for those in the tribulation. And you know what? People are going to be okay with it. They're going to be okay with it. We Christians, we know that the beheading is wrong, but we're not going to be here. Think about it. Look at our president. What a wonderful man he is. he brags about Islam and ISIL, and he makes very, very clear. He doesn't say ISIS. He says ISIL. He's very, very clear about that. And he quotes the Quran, He's for the Muslim nation, and what a wonderful guy we have. What a wonder. The Bible says not to speak a railing accusation against a man, right? What a wonderful man he is. But why will people be okay with this in the tribulation? Because you're going to have a majority of people that are Muslim, that read out of the Quran. And hey, if it's good enough for that, if it's prophesied that we can do this, then it's okay. And they'll be killing people left and right, lopping off their heads, and people will be okay with it. And so this Herod here, he's a type of the Antichrist. He's a type of the Antichrist. We're going to finish up here real quick. Verse 11. And his head was wrought in a charger. That's just like a wooden bowl. And given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came, took up the body, and buried it, and went and told Jesus. They didn't react. They didn't go back and take their swords and go kill anybody. They just buried the man. He didn't have his head. Head was probably sitting on a mantle in this woman's house. And then the disciples went and told Jesus. And we're going to go ahead and stop there. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your words. And what a wonderful truth that you have for us. And we pray that, Lord, we would learn from these truths and think about the things that you have for us and see the meals that you want to give to us. And we're going to see the meals you're going to give to these next people next week, how you fed the 5,000, but that we would receive the meals that you would give us daily. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.